Going to join our expert on all things Vatican, Joan Lewis. Joan, welcome to our programme once again.
On this very rainy, cool day, it's more like...
It's a bit muggy outside.
Yeah, it's more like March. Really
so
unusual.
The big story this past weekend was Turin
with
the Holy Shroud, the showing of the Holy Shroud, and the Pope going up there too.
And the Pope spending the day in Turin. He celebrated Mass. Kind of the three high points would be the celebration of Mass, obviously, in Piazza San Carlo, and then his meeting with about 20,000 young people from the Diocese of Turin and neighboring dioceses, and then, of course, his visit, obviously, to St. John the Baptist Cathedral to venerate the Shroud. And, of course, the Shroud is, I think all of our listeners do know, but it's a about 14-foot-long piece of linen which has the frontal and the dorsal images of a man who shows signs of having been whipped and who wore a helmet-like crown of thorns, so thorns that covered his whole head. And this is on display above the high altar. It's usually kept in a fireproof, everything-proof container in a chapel. So the Holy Father, first of all, read a very beautiful, moving meditation called The Mystery of the Shroud. And he called it himself the icon of this mystery, of the Passion.
Everyone was waiting to see what he would call it, right?
Exactly. Would he say it was...
Relic or...
He never came out and said... There were one or two papers that said he defined it as the burial cloud, a burial shroud of Christ. He did not. He came extremely close because he said it's an icon of the mystery, of course, of the Passion and death of Christ. It is, in fact, he said, his precise words, a burial cloth which covered the body of a crucified man, corresponding in every detail to what the Gospels tell us about Jesus. So, and just the fact that the Holy Father went there. Now, the Holy See does own the Shroud. It was in the hands, of course, for many years of the Savoy family, and in its various travels has been in Savoy palaces and so forth. But our listeners probably know the debate is ongoing as to all the tests that have been done on the Shroud. Carbon dating, which showed it to be medieval. But if you look at the carbon dating, it was false data because you had material that was added in the 1500s. You had nuns that repaired damages, so they have thread from an entire other century. I've spent 6 months studying the Shroud of Turin. I could do probably an hour-long show on
it. Maybe we can sometime.
It's one of the most fascinating things I have ever studied. So the fact that the Pope went there has to show some credence. He came as close as he possibly could to, you know, saying, obviously, this really is 2,000 years old and covered the body of Christ. So a very moving moving day for him and anybody participating, and pouring rain there on Sunday, too, so the poor... All the crowds everywhere that he
went. Then this past week has been really busy. On Monday, there was a communique released in the Vatican regarding the Middle East Synod.
You have your Middle East members who've been named to the Synod coming to Rome for meetings prior. This is true of any Synod. They come to Rome to kind of lay out the program for the forthcoming Synod, in this case for the bishops of the Middle East, and it will... take place next October for 2 weeks, starting on the 10th. And interestingly enough, when the Pope goes to Cyprus in June, he goes in the first week of June, and he's going to present the Instrumentum Laboris to the bishops of the Middle East in June during his trip. So that'll be a very interesting period for all of those people, whether or not they're in Cyprus, but those who will be coming to Rome. The communique said, more than anything else, that the Special Assembly has a dual objective, that is to say, the one in October, confirming and strengthening Christians in their identity through the Word of God and the sacraments, and stimulating ecclesial communion between the particular churches. And interestingly enough, this is what I discovered on my recent trip to the Middle East, of course, as a Latin Rite Catholic. That's pretty much all I'd known. Now you have the Chaldean, you have the Melkite, you have the Maronite, you have, and I'm eliminating many, many rites, and they will all be represented, of course, at the Synod. The Middle East is very much on the Holy Father's mind, too, because I think it was a day or two later, there was that awful attack in Mosul on several buses that were bringing students to the university. And there's this huge attack, especially in Mosul, in the city of Mosul. One person, Bishop Amel Nona, he's the Chaldean Archbishop of Mosul, and he wrote me last night and said that actually it was one student that was killed, but over 170 were injured in this attack. These are just kids who are the future of the country. They want to just simply go to school. So the Holy Father did send a telegram for that. So the Middle East, the upcoming synod, obviously I'm sure violence against Christians in different parts of the world will be brought up.
Shroud Middle East, and now on Wednesday, the Academy of Social Sciences.
Fascinating, exactly. They met for 5 days beginning April 30th, and the council of the Academy then met on Wednesday morning to put together a statement that was going to be given later in the morning by Marianne Glendon, who is the president of the Academy of Social Sciences. They studied, actually their theme was Crisis in a Global Economy, Replanning the Journey. This was their first meeting since the Pope's encyclical came out.
So there was a reference to
Caritas in Veritate. It was a reference to it, but mainly they used a lot of the guidelines that Pope set out for economies in this encyclical. And of course, Marianne observed that because this plenary coincided with the crisis in Greece, their whole meeting was marked by an analysis of recent events. It was much more immediate than the customarily, shall we say, slower rhythms of the Academy, which debate things. And, of course, we know what's happened in Greece.
Of course, there's this fear of a domino effect across Europe.
So. Yeah. Oh, yes, it does. Mm. And anybody who thinks that we all, whatever the country is, the United States, Italy, France, that we live in a cocoon all by ourselves, has not studied globalization, exactly.
The Wednesday audience, that's the day the Pope meets with the faithful.
He meets with the faithful. It was in St. Peter's Square. The rain held off, which was very nice. It threatened. But the Pope has been talking about the priesthood. And, of course, this is the year for priests. It will end in June. But he is talking about the three duties, the munus, if you will, that every priest has, and especially bishops. And that is to sanctify, to govern, and to teach. And he talked on Wednesday. He spoke of sanctifying humankind. And he said basically what a priest does, it's his duty. Sanctifying a person means putting the person in contact with God. And of course, that's the essential part of a priest's life. And the Holy Father did speak to priests themselves, encouraging them to practice the liturgy and worship with joy and love. He put great emphasis on the sacrament of reconciliation and obviously on the Holy Eucharist. And he renewed his call, really, for a return to the confessional. And then after addressing priests, the Pope addressed the faithful, and he asked them to be close to their priests, be close to them in prayer, help them when they need it, and always be there for them because they are the people who are going to bring us, the faithful, to God.
There's also another issue at the end of the Wednesday audience. The Pope spoke of the review conference on the nuclear non-proliferation treaty.
And in just a few poorer words, we could simply summarize his words by saying, obviously, he asked for a total end to all nuclear weapons. And he's asked those participating in this meeting that began on May 3rd in New York, he said to remember that peace rests on trust and respect for promises made, not just on the balance of power. So the Vatican, as it always does, is closely following this meeting and urging everyone to, again, just come out and clearly ban all weapons.
And then on Thursday, one of the most colorful events in the Vatican, a very popular one.
Oh, it is. It's a wonderful ceremony. I've attended it a number of times. And we're talking, of course, about the annual swearing-in ceremony of the Swiss Guards. They do this every year on May 6th. And this year, for the first time in a long time, the ceremony was moved indoors because of inclement weather, but also, unusually, because the Holy Father met with two heads of state on Thursday. And there are ceremonies that involve the heads of state and their entourage that begin in the San Damaso courtyard, where the Swiss Guard ceremony is usually held. So by the time you've got the two groups out and all their cars and the entourage will have left Vatican City, and then you have to set up a stage and chairs and everything else. It was just a difficult day to do all this, but the Swiss Guards have kept up with weather reports, and they had heard 4 or 5 days ago that before the event that they were going to have very bad weather on Thursday. So I feel sorry for the recruits, because the 30 new young men who are going to, you know, swear their allegiance to protecting the Pope and the Vatican, they have to do this in the very ultra-modern setting of the Paul VI Hall. And that's okay for audiences, but for this swearing-in ceremony, which goes back so many centuries, and all of the Swiss Guards are in their very colorful uniforms. It's moving. It's colorful. It's wonderful for the families when they come. And you'll hear a lot of French and German in the vicinity of the Vatican as families go out and celebrate their son or brother or nephew, as the case may be, when he swears in. And, of course, the reason May 6th is the date is that on that same day in 1527, 147 Swiss guards died protecting Pope Clement VII during the sack of Rome. So that has always traditionally been the day on which the new guards have been sworn in.
And they're not chocolate soldiers either.
And they are not chocolate. They are real people who know exactly how to defend. They have all means of modern security at their disposal. So they are right up there with the best, with New York's finest or anyone else who is in the position of having to defend and protect people.
Well, thanks so much, Jane.
See you next week.
And my thanks there go to Joan Lewis. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.